Everyone hits a bump in the road. What do you do with it? Be inspired as we explore the ways people experience, navigate, and manage the ups and downs and twists and turns in this road trip called life. Welcome to another episode of Bump in the Road. The basic podcast is always free. We also have a premium subscription called Bump 2 that lets you listen in on extended behind-the-scenes conversations with our guests. Check it out at www.bumpintheroad.us. How might a Harvard Law degree change your life? Would you be wealthy, famous, well-regarded? Tamma Keeves graduated with honors from Harvard Law and landed a prestigious job, but it didn't make her happy, and ultimately she walked away from it all, with no clear idea of what might lie ahead. So she began a new life, a life of reacquainting herself with who she really was. It was a nonlinear path towards her real dream, which was to write. How did the self-described, overachieving Jewish woman from New York find a new path in life, and what did she encounter along the way? Join us for a fun and funny, deep and serious, light-filled discussion of the importance of following one's heart. Tamma, welcome to Bump in the Road. You have an incredible story about having a Harvard Law degree, a job to die for, and you walked away from it all. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
How much time do you have?
All the time in the world.
I've got four books on this. It was the most important decision of my lifetime, and still has been. And I think I represent a lot of people in that I knew a little bit of who I was when I was young or what I might like, but I didn't listen to it. You know, When I was growing up, I knew that I loved to write, but I grew up in a Brooklyn, New York, Orthodox Jewish household. And so if you said you wanted to write, it was going to be like, you're going to write? You're going to starve. And so that was it. And so I went off to law school, and I got accepted to Harvard Law School and graduated with the honors. And many of us think that, you know, you have to stay reasonable, you have to stay practical, you have to deny what you love. And I ended up practicing law in a major law firm and doing well and just feeling emptier and emptier and emptier in a scary way of just feeling like, what am I doing with my life? Or just terrified because I had what you're supposed to have in terms of American success. And I just felt devastated inside because I wasn't doing something that meant something to me. And I remember being so unhappy. And a friend of mine at the time said something amazing. He said, think about it. If you've been this successful doing something you don't love, what could you do with what you love? And that made sense to me on a logical level. And I was so unhappy, and I just thought, you know what? You get one lifetime as far as I know. I need to know what happens in my lifetime if I at least try to go for something I wanted, if I at least tried for my dreams. And so that's what began my entire journey. I walked out of my law firm, without a plan, without anything, and just thinking, I've got to at least try this. And so that's been my life's work, is to help other people listen to their inner instincts in whatever transitions or changes they're going through.
Do you think you were driven more by getting away from your unhappiness or towards another happiness?
Oh, what a great question. A little bit of both, you know, and I think sometimes the unhappiness that we have is so great because there is this inner brightness or inner light or inner instinct of something we want, that we deeply want, that we're burying and squelching and denying. And so I think they played together that way. And so I think at the time it was just survival. I've got to get out of here or I'm going to die. But I think there was also that whisper of there's got to be something else. There's got to be something more. And I knew maybe it's in the writing world, maybe not, but I at least need to know.
The uncertainty you face with that kind of decision can be paralyzing. How did you push through that?
Still pushing through it. And actually, pushing is probably not the right word. Pushing is what my inner control freak instincts would do, but this has been a path. I mean, everything I have done from that minute on has been unlearning one way of thinking, a linear, pushing, aggressive, forced way of thinking, and learning how to listen to love and learning how to listen to an inner instinct or a whisper and not to push. But to answer your question of, for me, you know, I read every self-help book on the planet. And it was just, you know, I read everything. Fine. You do voodoo? Yeah, I'm in. Cool. Yes. Perfect. I mean, anything at the time to try to calm down. I've now written my own books because my own books heal me. But I think really for me, the thing that was most life-changing was really adopting a spiritual path, which I was the least likely person to go that way. For me, it was A Course in Miracles, which is a path of living in love instead of fear. But just working with my own mind, because your mind can make you crazy. Your mind is what made bad decisions to begin with that you thought was reasonable, but were maybe coming out of fear. And that's been my life's work, is to make the highest, most extraordinary choices I can and to help other people do the same thing.
You know, I've come to see uncertainty as opportunity.
Yeah, well, I have come to see uncertainty as opportunity because I have had to tell myself that, because otherwise it's definitely an opportunity. It's an opportunity for pain, misery, exhaustion, or it's an opportunity for extraordinary choices. You know, when my latest book, as you know, is Thriving Through Uncertainty. And that is the premise of that book, is that uncertainty is going to be here. But when uncertainty happens, it's our opening, it's our moment to finally listen to something else that's inside us, because all the old ways aren't working. All the things we know, all the things we've tried, they're not working in the traditional ways. And so finally, we might be available to opening up to this extraordinary voice that's inside us, this instinct. Because what I tell every one of my clients, and what I've seen for years and years and years of coaching others, is that there is a path inside each of us. Moment by moment, there is a path, but it's not a linear path. It's an inspired path. And so to your point about uncertainty being an opportunity, it absolutely is. And that's what I would love people to know, you know, because there's so much pain and fear, you know, when things change. But it is this opening, this launch pad, this jumping off point into a better life.
Yeah, you have some Albert Einstein quotes in your book, which I love. I'm a fan of his quotes. And one of the ones I really like is, it is better to believe than to disbelieve. In doing so, excuse me, you bring everything into the realm of possibility.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, when I think about my own life, I knew I wanted to write. That was what I knew when I was young, but that possibility did not exist. I did not believe in that possibility. I was told that possibility was crazy. You would starve. You wouldn't, you know, you could never make it. And so there was no belief. And my own work and my own healing has been in learning how to believe in possibilities, to continue to believe in possibilities. And for many people, you know, we get our hearts broken, we get disappointed. You talk about bump in the road, right? It's bump after bump after bump after devastation after bomb after, you know, I mean, it's like,
I have been there.
Right. Many of us have gone through a few bumps, right? And it's very easy and understandable to close our hearts, to close down, to shut down, to stop believing that we can have what we want or we can have what we desire. And my own life's work has been to continue to always come back to that belief and to always come back to, there's a reason I want this. There's a reason this keeps speaking to me, and I'm going to choose again. I'm going to choose again. I'm going to dare again. I'm going to try again. You know, as a writer, I've had 8 billion rejections. I've had, you know, so many things that didn't work. Same thing with being a speaker. You know, you get 8 billion rejections. And I have many, many reasons to have stopped, many, many legitimate, rational reasons to have stopped. I am not interested in rational reasons. I am interested in inspiration and genius and love. And it is in my choosing to dare again and believe again that opened my heart and my love and my sanity and my deepest capacities and have ended up giving me the life I dreamed of and continue to dream of. And it's still work to believe. But that, I believe, for me, I believe that's part of what we're here in this lifetime to do, is to constantly keep our hearts open, our minds open, and daring again, because it's so easy to shut down. It's very easy. You'll have lots of friends. There's great support groups for it. But I'm more interested in a world of possibilities. So I'm on the side of Albert Einstein there.
Well, you know, in taking that approach, I think it's the only approach to take to be true to yourself, to your soul, and really find your path in life. But it's a huge jump for so many people, because it goes against the societal grain. Society values that left brain achievement, external and material achievement. What car do you drive? Where do you live? It's no wonder that it's so hard for people to find and follow their hearts. How do you separate yourself from that very thin veneer that many of us for many years think is real?
It's tough. And it's, you know, it's, for me, it is this consistent choice of what I call linear success versus inspired success. And linear success is exactly what you just described, where, you know, there's prescribed standards of, you know, if you go to the right school, if you get the right degree, if you get the right job, if you get the right bonus, you get, you know, like, it's just a very track, you get the right car, you get the right, you know, the right look. For me, inspired success is being moved from within, being moved moment by moment. And, you know, for many of us, we've done the linear success model or tried. And that's what happened to me, is I did all the quote right things and I felt empty and it was terrifying. And my own healing has been learning that, you know, there's the appearance in life of what life looks like, but then there's the experience and the experience of being alive. And for me, I'm much more interested in creating a meaningful life in the experience now. And I go through all that other junk, you know, I get my Harvard alumni magazines, you know, and, you know, the bathroom of one of their houses is, you know, is bigger than my entire living space. You know, I mean, just, it's easy to compare. And the other thing that happens too, is we're so caught up in a material society. You have to have this now, you have to have that now, you have to have this now. And we're so, you know, going and that we can't even feel our hearts. We can't even feel what we want. We don't even know what we want. We know what we're supposed to want. We know what car we're supposed to drive. You know, I at one point like thought, okay, I'm gonna shop for a luxury car. You know, I'm gonna let myself do that. And then I finally realized that's not me. That's not who I am. That's what you're supposed to do, right? And so again, it is this life of awakening to who are you? What do you want? Stepping out of the track, stepping out of the script, stepping out of the hypnotism of this society, and really listening moment by moment to who you really are. And by the way, they're not mutually exclusive. You know, I'm not ever saying that if you follow your heart, you can't have a nice car. If that's truly your dream, but I want to find out what your dream is, not what you're supposed to dream.
Avoiding comparison is so hard, though, in this society. Are there any tricks to doing that?
Hit me where I live. Comparison is the Achilles heel of mine. And, you know, I have a friend who said, you know, if it's really bugging you so-and-so on social media, stop looking. You know, it was pretty stupid, pretty obvious, right? But I have a chapter in Thriving Through Uncertainty that says, no one has a better life than you. No one has a better life than you. And it's my mantra. It's my reminder to myself that, again, I have a path. I have an extraordinary life that is awaiting me if I follow it, if I live into it. But if I'm looking over my shoulder at like, oh my God, they're doing that. Oh my God, they have this. Oh my God, they have that. Then I'm not in my life. And so we weaken our own lives by looking at everyone else, everything else. And again, we're trained to do this. It's in the media. It takes so much courage to be an independent, maverick soul that's daring to live the one life you are meant to live. And so for me, I really limit what I allow myself to look at and indulge in. And all of my work also is, I use a technique called the inspired self dialogues that I came up with, which is a journaling technique. And it's just basically when I'm in my fear or my craziness, because you will be in that state of mind, I just write from that state of mind. And then I have my own higher instincts, my love, the deeper part of me, the wiser part of me, right back. And so for me, it's just tapping a different form of sanity when I need it.
Well, actually, it's tapping your wiser self. And you need your wiser self, because if you live that linear life, you supposedly know what the next step is, right? But if you live an inspired life, you're really much more present moment and moving step by step.
Yes, yes. And it really is, you know, I always talk about it is following the breadcrumbs, you know, just following the breadcrumbs. And again, I have a very linear, ambitious, crazy mind. So, you know, this wasn't like easy for me, you know, when people are thinking, oh, I couldn't do that. Yeah, well, if I could do it, you know, I always say, if this mind could find peace, there's hope for the Middle East, you know, it's like anything is possible now. And so, but for me, it is following the breadcrumbs. And here's the thing that people don't understand is that the breadcrumbs won't look like your plan. You know, you're trying to plan it out, map it out. How's it going to work? You know, a lot of times people come up with a desire or a dream or even an instinct and they're like, but how do I do that? And for me, the how is always going to be saying yes to the desire, yes to what I love, and then following breadcrumbs like a spark, a whisper. I don't know why, but I have energy to call my sister right now. I don't know why, but I want to move. I don't know why, but this person feels interesting to me. And the thing about a breadcrumb is it's not linear. What happens on this path a lot that people don't realize is that for me, a lot of my breadcrumbs led me to changing the way I think. Because the issue is never in what steps we take or how we get there. The issue is always in the way I'm thinking. We limit ourselves with the way we're thinking, or we carry forward these wounds and these issues and these negative attitudes that we all have. And so sometimes a breadcrumb might be out of left field, nothing you're expecting, nothing that looks like what you think it should be. And yet that direction might take you somewhere that ends up helping you think differently or open up to something differently. That you, again, it's an intuitive, instinctive, cumulative path that you cannot possibly imagine. So again, breadcrumbs, I think, are transformative, right? And again, your linear mind might fight it. I'll give you a crazy example. This is in my past of, you know, when I was much younger, I met a man a million years ago when I was young, and I really just was really, I fell in love with him. And he was like, you know what, you might not want to date me because, you know, I'm going to be moving at the end of the summer or something like that. So you might not want to, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, in a linear mind, you know, I was thinking, yeah, he's right. Don't get hurt. He's not the kind of guy my parents would approve of anyway, blah, blah, blah. Millions of reasons, right? He's even telling me he's leaving. So why would you start a relationship with somebody who's already telling you they're leaving? But I followed that energy and I followed that instinct. And it was one of the most transformative relationships of my life. He was a very free thinker and very creative. And I hadn't been exposed to that at that time in my life. And it changed the way I thought. And at one point, I remember him saying, I grew up in Brooklyn and we were in Brooklyn. And I remember him saying, if you ever get out a chance, you got to go out west. It's amazing out west. And I like filed that in my brain. And many, many years later, I moved out west. I moved to Denver and it's been one of the best things I ever did. And who knew that that would happen, right? Like that was a breadcrumb. It transformed something. It was not something from a linear path, but it changed. Oh, and by the way, he did not move at the end of the summer. That was the other interesting thing. Like you just never know, but this is a path of following energy, not rational thought.
Well, energy and your soul. One of the things that you say is, I just couldn't find my way in the world. I had to find myself first.
Yes, 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 yes. And that's exactly what it is because, my God, that's written so well. My goodness, what an astounding sentence of, you know, for me, again, you know, I left a legal career and I thought, of course, that I could just bang out the next part of my life. I was used to billing 6-minute increments of my time, right? I was used to disciplining myself into everything. And I just thought I could just bang out a life of following your passion, finding your passion. And what I always tell people is that this is a path not so much of doing, but undoing. And undoing, again, those painful beliefs, those painful ways of thinking, of not believing in yourself, not trusting that you have a soul, not trusting that there is a way, not trusting that there really is a love and a light and a force of good that, you know, whatever you call it, the universe, God, spirit, your higher mind, whatever it is, you know, follow something other than your fears. Other than what you think is practicality, it was like learning a completely new language to find myself. And that's not what I thought I was doing. I thought, well, I'm just going to reinvent a career, right? But it is this journey of finding a new language to yourself and a new way of being that opens up so many possibilities you would never dream of, or even things that, you know, again, that breadcrumb thing of, it's sometimes surprising directions. In a billion years, I would never have dreamed that what I would do with my life would have anything to do with spirituality. That was not on my ticket. You know, I was in Harvard Law School. I was thinking about making a lot of money. That was, you know, I was very practical, whatever. I made fun of those people. You know, my friends from New York always say, what happened to you? You used to be normal, you know? You used to make fun of those people. Now you are one of them. You know, it's like, you know, again, that break from, you don't even know who you are. You don't even know what lights you up. You don't even know where you belong sometimes. And it's about undoing the painful ideas that are in the way and discovering it and following that energy, that soul yourself.
Yeah, and I think when you start looking within, you finally have the chance to actually rewrite your story.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. You have to rewrite your story if you want to open more doors. And that's an interesting way of saying it, that rewriting your story, because, again, you know, we live in a culture that's all about blame and not taking responsibility. And it's, well, it's, you know, they did this to me and they did that. And I couldn't, you know, and I went through many years of thinking, oh my God, what would have happened if I'd been supported for my creative instincts? What would have happened if I'd been in a family that said, yeah, you could do anything? Or what would have happened if I had money, you know, like all these years of, finding my own career of becoming a writer and a coach and a speaker. It's like, what if I'd had a rich husband? Why couldn't I have had that? Why couldn't I have had money behind me? Or, you know, like you have all these stories, right, of why you can't have what you truly want. And my own healing has been to embrace, this is my life. This is my beautiful life. I'm gonna take this life. And I'm going to rewrite this story, because if this is the way the circumstances are in my life, then these are the circumstances I am going to bless and use. And again, we focus so much of our attention on why things aren't working, what could have been, what should have been, how other people could have done something differently. And I want to know what happens for each of us when we start turning our attention to, this is my life. I want to wake up. I want to use what I have. I want to go with the love that I have. And I'm not diminishing, by the way, ever the pain that people feel. And there, you know, again, we all have to go through our own healing and hire our therapists and coaches and rabbis and gurus and whatever we need and cats and dogs and whatever it takes, you know, but at a certain point, for me, it's always this choice point. It's always this choice point of, am I going to listen to my fear or am I going to listen to my love? What will I dedicate this life to? Because that's, for me, rewriting that story is in saying, maybe I didn't get it. Maybe I didn't become a writer when I was younger. Maybe I didn't get it in the first 20 years. Maybe it's taken me. I mean, it took me a million years to write my first book and get it published, you know, but rewriting that story is saying, I'm still going to give myself a chance. I'm still going to give myself another chance and another chance and another chance. You know, my second book is Inspired and Unstoppable, Wildly Succeeding in Your Life's Work. And when I use the word unstoppable, I meant life may challenge me, but I will not stop myself. I will not stop myself. And for me, that's that writing my story again of like, I'm not going to accept a story that limits me. I'm going to find the story, create the story, make up the story that frees me.
Oh, I love that. One of the quotes I pulled from your book was, the story you tell yourself is the story you live. It's uncanny how true this is.
It really is. You know, I mean, even when I was writing Thriving Through Uncertainty, which is, like I said, that's my fourth book. And when I first started writing that book, I was kind of depressed. I was kind of like stuck. And I was kind of, you know, it's my fourth book and I'd been in the industry now. And part of me was telling this story of, ugh, I know this is going to be hard. I know how this is. You're going to have to market this. Other people have this and other people have that, the comparison thing again of, you know, and it'll be hard. And I, strangely enough, hearing that story, I wasn't inspired to write. Amazingly, I don't know why, but that didn't motivate me to write a new book, you know, just, and it's not going to work and it's not fair and it's going to take forever anyway. And now you're old and, you know, and what if people loved your, you know, your first three books and this one's going to suck. I mean, like I just had that going on. And the real interesting thing that I learned from this was I was so uninspired. And if you would have told, you know, if I would have been talking to you at that time, I would have told you I was uninspired because of these reasons, because, well, it's not fair and you have to market and da 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 and the industry and all these different things. But what I learned was I was not inspired because I was not writing. Writing is my calling. Writing is one of the ways I connect. Writing is the one of the ways that I get my juice. And I was using all those reasons to not write. The second I really started writing, I hit my connection again. I hit my juice again. I hit my joy again. And I realized, what the hell am I thinking? I'm born to write. This is my soul's calling. Of course it's going to work. I told myself a different story. I breathed into that different story. And so it is. And by the way, I wrote a book, Thriving Through Uncertainty, and then the pandemic hit. Unbelievable. I still feel a little guilty that the world had to suffer so my book could do well. But oh, well, you know, but again, we so live the stories we tell ourselves and we are practicing these stories and they're myths, right? Like, again, my early origin story, if you do what you love, you're not going to succeed. If you do what you love, you're going to starve. And so then I believed that. And I followed through on that until I told myself a different story. Like, what if the voice inside me that is leaning towards something I love, what if that's constructive instead of destructive? What if that's constructive? What if actually I'm being led in a good direction? What if I'm not supposed to fight my instincts? What if I'm supposed to fight for my instincts? And again, telling myself a different story. And the beautiful thing about doing that, that I feel so grateful for, is in my telling myself a different story, I have now helped tens of thousands of other people tell themselves different stories and awaken to different possibilities and to do meaningful things on this planet. And that excites the hell out of me.
Oh, and it should. I'm curious, your first book, it took you a number of years to write that. What was it and what was it about?
My first book is This Time I Dance, Creating the Work You Love. And I started writing that book because I had just left law. I was terrified out of my mind. I'd read all these, you know, self-help books, and I was really frustrated with them. It'd be like, you know, 3 easy ways to blah, 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 you know, 30 days to your new life. And you know, it'd be 80 days later and I'd still be freaking out and I'd be thinking, oh my God, I am failing self-help. This is not good, you know? And so I was struggling. I was really struggling in transition. And I thought, there's no book that is helping me. And I just decided to start writing the truth about what I was going through and being really honest about the nitty-gritty of transition, about how you're not inspired, how I wanted to sleep all day, you know, how, you know, all, you know, I started writing what I needed to hear, and it was just propelling me to do this, to really answer for myself what could guide me, to keep myself going. And it took me 12 years to write that first book. And I always tell people in my seminars that, you know, because people get depressed hearing that thing, I don't want to study with her anymore. This is going to take 12 years. I'm out of here. I want the 3 steps now. But I always tell people, I think it took me 11 years to heal and 11 years to try on different beliefs and to believe I could write, you know, I didn't know, to believe I could write and I could do this and that maybe this was a good thing. And it took me 11 years to do the inner healing and 1 year to write a book is what I always say. And so that book became the beginning of everything. And then I'll just share a little bit more of I have a belief system that you can't plan an inspired life. You can't plan an inspired life. Again, the linear plan, we're trying to figure it all out. I, without going to the whole long story, I self-published that first book and I was terrified to do that. I'd gotten an inner voice that said, just put it out there, just put it in the river, just put it out there some way, somehow. And it was terrifying to think of doing that. But 4 months after I self-published, I got an email out of the blue from a vice president of marketing and publicity for Random House. And it was a woman who'd been in a career transition. She had been on Amazon or something and found my self-published book, This Time I Dance. And she wrote and said, this is the best book I have ever read on finding your calling and on this journey. And I would like to get it to a major New York house. And she got it to the publisher I dreamed of most, Tarcher Penguin, Random House. And they picked up the book and they picked up the book exactly the way it was. They kept the exact writing. They didn't edit it. They kept the title, everything, which is unheard of as an unknown writer, unheard of. And for me was evidence of, you know, you can't plan, have that. You can't plan an inspired life. I can't plan. I'm going to have a meltdown for 12 years writing this book. And then this woman's going to be having a meltdown at the end of those 12 years looking for a book. She finds it, and that's my business plan. You know, it's like, but these things happen if we really follow those instincts. And then they picked up all my books, and I am forever grateful. I'm so, so grateful to listening to that inner voice, even when it's been hard, because, you know, it gave birth to everything.
That's an incredible story.
Yeah. And I tell it all the time in my workshops. I tell it all the time when I'm on stage because, and it's really interesting because every time I tell it, I still feel it, you know? I mean, just like, I remember, you know, I always tell, like, you get that email in your inbox that says, she wrote me an email and it literally just said, your fairy godmother has arrived. Your fairy godmother has arrived. And you open an email like that and you think it's going to be, you know, spam, right? You think it's going to be Russian girls are waiting for you. You know, just something crazy, right? But I read that thing like 100 times. I showed it to my partner and say, okay, please read this and tell me this is true. I mean, like, it was just like, you know, it was amazing. But I, you know, and it's interesting too, because I have a lot of people, I tell that story often, and people will come up to me and say, oh, maybe you'll be my fairy godmother. Right. And they miss the point of, for me, I think something that was so significant in that journey was, it was me believing in this for 12 years without any feedback. I was getting constant rejections. I would submit it here and there to literary agents, because one of the things I did in that book, in all of my books, I do this. I kind of cross genres. It's self-help, but it's memoir also, right? Like, it's a lot of my personal stories, and it's really, really honest, which is why people love it, because they identify with it. And so, like, a lot of literary agents didn't want it. It's like, okay, you need to be in one category or another. And I kept thinking, but I don't want to be, I'm looking for a different kind of book. I'm looking for a book that's real and isn't just self-helpy, you know, and giving me one-liners that I can't apply. And so anyways, for me, it was such a journey of faith. I think what I was so terrified of, to be really honest, wasn't only that I wouldn't get my book published or that it wouldn't go anywhere. What I was really terrified of is, what do you believe in then after that? You know, if you've trusted an inner voice and you've gone all the way, right? And it didn't happen. You know, I was so afraid, like, oh my God, what would happen? I now know that what I would tell somebody is, you always trust that voice and you keep going. Because at 12 years, I got billions of rejections. I had all kinds of reasons not to trust it. And yet my continuing to focus on the excellence I could give and showing up in the ways I could. And I was an excellence freak. I just, you know, I really spent the time and love. This was not something I was just winging out, because I write my books to heal me. If they don't heal me, I don't put them out there. You know, if they don't change me, I'm not going to put them into the public, because I'm going to stand by my work for the rest of my life and teach it. And so I need to know it works. So a lot of times people hear the magnificence of that story of, like, oh my God, you made a connection and it all worked out for you. But, you know, I'm also wanting people to know, yes, and the bigger part of that story is following your own inner instincts, which will lead you all the way.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.